If there are those of you that have not registered, please do so following this service. At this point, we stand at 475 who have registered. And, excuse me, there are others that are coming. There are others that will be in that this evening will be notified. So we're expecting our attendance this year to go beyond the 600 mark, and I feel confident that it will. And we're just so delighted for such a lovely attendance as here. And if you haven't registered, please do so. Many things are said concerning any church that is growing. And a growing church does not always mean a spiritual church. You can have a church that is increasing in number because of any number of things that you're doing. You can have a church that is increasing in number because of strong publicity, because of strong visitation, because of strong emphasis placed upon any particular program, and you can build and generate attendance. But that still does not mean that it's going to be a strong spiritual church. And I think that all of us are here because we are seeking to build churches by the help of God that are strong, spiritually speaking, that are not built around us per se, but centered in Christ Jesus. That if something happens to us, the church is not going to fall apart. Now I realize that any person who has a strong church, there are a certain number of people that if something were to happen to him or her, that church would lose some in attendance. But I don't think that a church will fall apart if it's built upon a solid, firm foundation and relationship in Christ Jesus. And our desire during each of our pastor schools has not been to give you a bunch of programs. You can go to a good bookstore and buy books of programs. You can go to the headquarters of any national church organization and you can get programs by the scads. And whether you believe it or not, about 90% of those programs are very good programs. And about 90% of those programs were born in the heart and the life of some dedicated, committed Christian that for their situation was the answer. And they were given by God. And God used them. Because no organization just picks up a program for the sake of saying, hey, we got one more program. Somewhere that program was used, it was proven, it was tested, and it worked. And so when we have a program that comes from our national organization, whatever your organization may be, most of the time that is a program that some man, some woman, some person, somewhere, lingering in the presence of God, struggling and wrestling with a problem they were confronted with, they pressed through and they touched God, and God dropped into their heart an answer for their situation. But our problem has been that just because it works in Indianapolis, I automatically think it's going to work here. And that's not so. Just because it works for that person, it's going to work for me. And that's not necessarily so. So the thing that each of us must do is realize that our victory is in Christ Jesus. And it starts with us. The man who stands behind the sacred desk. That's where the whole thing began. Oh, how I wrestled with God and I begged God when I first came to New Orleans, and I finally realized what I had was a church that was a good, some good people in it, but really didn't believe anything was going to happen and really didn't expect anything to happen. And they were just wanted to have a nice little church and their pastor to go have coffee with them on Sunday night after the service and go down to the donut shop and have donuts and just have a good little church. And I just could not live that way. And I prayed and I did exactly what many of you have done. I said, oh God, if you'll just give me some new blood in this church. If you just give me some new people in here, Lord, some people that we can work with. And you know what? Believe it or not, God loves that old blood. And he's not interested in you reaching a lot of new people and discarding the people who made or built what you have. And so finally, when God got that through my head, then I approached him from a new angle. And I began to see what God really wanted. God could do whatever he wanted to do in New Orleans if he could get me. And I thought I'd given myself to him. And I had programs that sometimes I thought that he should have said, "Man, where did you get that?" You know, it just had to be a terrific thing. But when I really buckled down to praying through and getting a hold to the horns of the altar and wrestling with God until I got the mind of Christ, till I found that position, I found that place in Christ Jesus that I ought to be, then things started happening. See, really and truly, you don't need a program until you know what God wants. Because every program you have, until you find out what God wants, is your program. And I don't know about yours, but my programs were hard to keep alive. They'll die on you. They'll drive you ragged. Trying to keep those programs going. Trying to keep that thing flourishing. Trying to keep those people moving. Trying to keep them excited about it. But you know what? Once you can get them into Christ and get them looking to Jesus and get them believing that when they come together, they're going to be souls saved. They're going to be people healed. They're going to be people delivered. They're going to be people filled with the Holy Spirit. They're looking for that. It's not hard to keep them excited then. But trying to keep a person excited about a program is tough. Another thing I had to learn too, and I suppose most of us had to learn that, they won't get excited about your sermons. Isn't that hard to have to swallow? They're not excited about your sermons. But they'll get excited about a message from God. And I'm doing a series of messages on the life of Paul right now. And I've just preached the 28th in that series. But in studying this and preparing these messages that God had burned in my heart and looking into the Word and seeing what God really did in this man's life, I came across some things, and I want to share them with you for the next few minutes. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we find these words, beginning at verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now I want you to listen to verse 4 and verse 5 again. Pay very close attention to those. "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." What's Paul trying to say? What's he trying to communicate to us? To understand what Paul is saying, you've got to go back to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Don't turn there now. Just make a notation of it. But in the 17th chapter of Acts, you'll find Paul in Athens. He had been beaten, he had been stoned, he had gone through all kind of hell. They had slipped him out of the last town that he was in, and he had left there and had traveled from Thessalonica and come across to Athens, not with his regular traveling party, because they were left behind. But some of the brethren from the Thessalonica church brought him across there. When they got him situated, they went back home, and he was waiting for the rest of the evangelistic party to arrive. While he was waiting in Athens, he began to see the many idols that they had. And his heart was deeply moved and disturbed because of all of the false teaching and the false gods that they had. And he began to move into the marketplace, and he began to listen to some of the talk that was going on. And all of the philosophers were there with their philosophy. And this gripped the heart of Paul. And Paul began to argue and began to dispute with them and talk with them and debate with them, so to speak. And as Paul began to share with these people, they said, "Hey, man, you've got something new. We need to take you up and let you speak to the authorities." So they moved up into Mars Hill. In Mars Hill, when he stood before this great court, and as he stood before this court, this was the highest court in the land at that particular time. There was no court in all the world that had the prestige, that had the authority, that was looked to as this particular court was. And when Paul began to speak, Paul reached back and remembered what he had learned as he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And he remembered of all the poets that he had studied, and the literary writers that he had been able to study and read about. And Paul began to reach back and get this. Though he was speaking truth about God, he was speaking words to entice and to show them that though you may be well learned, I'm no idiot either. As I began to study the 17th chapter, I find that many of your commentators feel that this is not even like Paul. The words that Paul uttered in the 17th chapter doesn't even resemble Paul. All the rest of his writings, none of it goes along with that. Though everything he said in there was truth. Brethren, we can speak truth and it not be anointed. We can speak truth and the motive for which we're bringing it forth can be wrong. We can empty our hearts out to a congregation. We can pour forth of the things that we have learned, the things that we have been able to discover. We can lay it out, layer after layer. We can pour it forth, and our people walk out untouched and unchanged. There may be a few people that you minister to. There may be a few people that are touched. There may be a few people that will begin to pull with you. But in all the places Paul went, Athens was the only place he didn't build a church. No church was built in Athens. One of the men who was a member of the court, and one lady, and the Bible says a few others, followed him down the hill, and they talked to Paul, and they believed upon Jesus. But when Paul left Athens, he was a defeated man. He was crushed. He was hurting. And as Paul left there, he went to Corinth. Corinth was a city about like New Orleans, from what I can study and find out. Tremendous trade center. Sin of every kind you can think of. It was all there. And when Paul got there, he said, "Fellas, the first thing I want to set straight is, I want you to understand, I did not come here to try to impress you. I didn't come here with flowery words. I didn't come here with excellency of speech. I didn't come here in the wisdom of man. I did not try to pour forth upon you such profound things that your faith would stand in what I was saying. But I have come here in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit so that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of man, but will stand in the power of Almighty God." I said, "I want to tell you something. I don't claim to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brethren, and that's our business. That's our business. I have seen pastors get all bent out of shape because they had a doctor attending their church, or they had an attorney, or they had some very successful businessman. Friend, I don't care who attends the church here. In their field, they may be the best. But I'm no slouching man. And that's the attitude you've got to take. Not with an arrogance, but with an understanding, I don't have to be intimidated because I have a message from God. Now, if you come in here in your own wisdom, if you come in here in your own knowledge, if you try to declare it because you think you're somebody, then that's a different story. But if you have a message from God, friend, you've got the greatest thing on the face of the earth. Deliver it. Deliver it. And that message from God will penetrate the heart of men and cause them to bow before Almighty God. And this is the thing God is saying to the church today. Let us be specialists in knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our victory is not in the programs we have, nor the organization we have, though all of us want organization. Our victory is not in the location of the building, nor the beautiful structure, though each of us would like to have a beautiful structure. But our success is in Jesus Christ. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Let us stick to knowing Jesus Christ. Churches are being swallowed up today because they're getting out of the realm of Christ, and they're trying to teach and trying to counteract or trying to play a part with some of the borderline teachings. And let me just touch on a few of them. The shepherding program. The shepherding program is a good program if it is done right. But when you try to substitute the shepherding program and you try to become the Christ that these people look to and not pointing them to the real Christ, then you're in trouble. Jesus taught discipling. No one was a greater discipler of men than Jesus Christ was. But let Jesus be the center of it. Right today, we have people that are, again, I don't know why they don't stay off of this thing, but they're going back and there's coming a new cycle of this casting out demon bit. You know, they had a school over here a few months ago, not too far from our church here, where that they was teaching them how to cast out devils. Friend, I'm not going to talk about devils when I can talk about Jesus. And when you get people looking to Jesus Christ, they're not looking for devils. You don't want people looking for demons behind every bush. And this is what's happening to many of our churches today. People are trying to reach out to them, like the charismatic movement. The charismatic movement, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a group of people who were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They needed somebody then that would help to point them to Jesus Christ, because the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to take the things of His and reveal it unto them. But instead, we started trying to just float along with them. And the next thing you know, we were all balled up and churches split and churches hurt. And somebody said, it was a charismatic today. It wasn't a charismatic. We got our eyes off of Jesus. You can't divide Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your preaching centered in Jesus. Keep your churches worshiping Jesus. Keep everything centered in Jesus Christ. Your churches won't be splitting. There may be a few people fall off because they don't want to hang in there. But don't turn and make an issue out of that. Keep talking Jesus. Keep talking Jesus. Keep talking Jesus. Keep loving Jesus. Stay in Jesus. A precious brother of mine is going through some battles because of some erroneous teaching right now. And the worst thing that can happen is that he begins to pay or dignify that teaching by mentioning it from the pulpit. Lift up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. Amen. Years ago, We went through a time when I had some people that on the board that wanted to run the church and me and everything else. And so Bob Boswell was in the church at that time. And today we was having lunch and that subject came up, and I was telling him how I dealt with it. He said, "Well, you know, you dealt with a thing and it all over with, and I never did know what happened." And you know what? I think that was one of the greatest compliments that could have come to me, is that you can handle a problem in the church that is a major problem and your people never know what happened. You know why he didn't know? I never took it to the pulpit. You say, "But didn't you take it to the board?" It was the board. That was the problem. I didn't have to take it there. That's where it started. But how did I deal with it? I stayed in Jesus. I kept leading the people in worship Jesus. See, all of these problems won't draw people to Jesus Christ. But it's hard for a church to get rid of you when you just had people saved at the altar that morning. If you keep tears of repentance on the altar, people who are against you pretty soon are either going to have to line up or they're going to have to get out. But anytime you dignify their griping by talking about it or by discussing it with other people, that's exactly what they want you to do. Stay in Jesus Christ. And this is true with all the doctrines and all the teaching that's coming forth today. These things are going to fall by the wayside, but everything that's anchored to Jesus Christ is going to survive. Everything that's built in Jesus Christ is going to survive. Jesus is not going to be defeated. And if we are in Christ Jesus and he is in us, we aren't going to be defeated. But if we stop along the way to argue and bicker and fight with a lot of the issues that are coming forth today, just like the prosperity teachings of today and the prosperity doctrines and all of this, hit them as you're going through, just hit them, but leave them alone. Don't make an issue out of them. Because anytime you make an issue out of them, anything that's bothering you that bad, your people is going to start checking it out to see what it is. And many of them will never take the time to check it out if you don't publicize it. Keep them in Jesus Christ. Keep them pulling together in Jesus. Keep lifting up Christ in your singing, in your preaching, in your teaching. Everything you do, keep Christ at the center of it. Now, another thing you want to do, brethren, in this crucial time that we're going through, and the church today is going through a sifting, not just one assembly, not just one body, not just one local group, but the church as a whole today is going through a time of sifting. And you can look around and you can see it. And God has been trying to show us that this was going to happen, show us that this thing was going to come to pass for a long, long time. And now it's upon us and it is happening. But the thing that you want to recognize is that the one truth that'll keep your church stable is keep preaching this and keep people centered in Christ Jesus. Keep them centered in Christ Jesus. Do not dignify the problems. Do not magnify the problems, but keep preaching the truth and teaching the truth, letting people know what Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the hope. He is the only solution. Just keep leading your people. Now, one final thing that I want to say in this particular session, because this is just a little introduction for us to get to kind of like to know one another. Don't try to get deep. Now, you'll have people that are trying to push you. Oh, I have people who come to me and say, "Man," says Brother Gorman, you know, few people, I can't really feature why they would do a thing like that, but I've had a few people to leave this church. I really can't believe it, but it really happened. And a few of them said to me, "You know, Brother Gorman, your preaching is not deep enough." The trouble was, I was already so far over their heads, they didn't know which way was deep. The simplicity of the gospel, the simpler you can keep it, the deeper it is. Amen? When you start trying to get into deep things and you think that you're going to really take your people deep, 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 what makes truth deep? It's when you can bring your people into a state of worship and waiting in the presence of God that He can take of His and show it unto them. That's deep. Amen. And you cannot take people. You can show them Jesus. You can teach them truths. You can teach them the Word of God. You can take them into the Word of God. You can unfold a number of things to them. But the depth that a person has must come through a spiritual relationship between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the natural mind cannot receive deep spiritual truths. So you continue to lift up Jesus. Continue to get people to spend time with Jesus Christ. Keep lifting up the truths that Jesus taught. And let the Holy Spirit be the one that reveals that to their heart and makes that real to their heart and their life. Here's one of the reasons why you don't want to fight the confession thing a whole lot. Now, I'll hit it in passing. I'll hit it, I would say, probably about 3 times a month. You can rest assured, you listen to my tapes, I'm going to hit it for about a minute, and then I'm off of it. I want the people to know that confession, but always, always, when I hit it, confession is right. But like everything else, there's a right confession, a true confession, and a false confession. And you can say the same things, see? You can say the same things that the person who's speaking the truth can say, but it won't happen because to one it's a revealed truth, to the other it's in the head. And God does not respond to head knowledge. He responds to the cry of the heart. And the thing that moves God, and when we confess the things that's been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, these things get into our spirit. And these are the things that control us, that motivate us, that keep us, that make us what God wants us to be. So our victory is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Center your preaching, your teaching, your worship, everything. Center it in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I were to call His name, there is a gentleman who for many years probably saw more people baptized in the Holy Spirit in his day than any man that I knew of in those days. But you know what? He got to believing, I'm a specialist in getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. And that became the one theme of his message. And today, he's all messed up and a backslid, separated from his wife. He doesn't admit he's backslid. He's still trying to preach. Wife and he are separated. His life has gone to skid row. The devil has torn him apart. What happened? He thought that he could become a specialist over here in the gifts of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit or in prophecy or whatever it is. Everything's got to come back to Jesus. And if you don't keep it anchored in Jesus, you're headed into dangerous territory. And brethren, everything we do while we're here, we're going to do our very best to tie it and anchor it all in Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ, there's victory. But without Him, we can do nothing.